Welcome. Stuart, feel free to join the circle if you'd like. I realise you're the only male here today and childless, but that's perfectly agreeable. So welcome to what is the fourth Enemies of Good Art public meeting. And before we get going, all the babies are at the age now where they're able to fight. So this, in terms of audio, this is going to be very interesting. Before we start, this is a working studio, and we're here because Stuart has kindly let us use the space for these couple of hours. So if we just bear in mind that any marks on the floor, I will be cleaning afterwards, I promise. And if we could just keep food and drink to a minimum, whatever the babies need. But the place has just been redecorated. So that said, the toilets are just out on the left. I think most people have found them, and we'll begin. I'm absolutely excited and delighted to welcome our esteemed chair today, who is the writer and academic and filmmaker, Laura Mulvey. And we're very lucky to have her because she just got off a plane yesterday. Apart from the fact that the woman's very busy, and for that reason alone, we're lucky to have her. But I was very excited to when Laura said yes, because for me, Laura Mulvey is someone who is right at the heart of the feminist movement and was quite pivotal and an important figure, if you won't mind me saying so, in terms of her seminal work, Visual and Other Pleasures, Narrative Cinema, Visual and Other Pleasures. So that work in itself was quite important in terms of its connection of feminism, or connecting feminism to psychoanalytic theory. And it it placed feminism on the Richter scale in terms of discussion and how women and indeed feminism progressed from that. So I'm not the expert on that subject, so perhaps that might come up in the discussion. But Laura teaches at Birkbeck University now at the in the Department of Art History and Screen Media. So we have no agenda for today, because this meeting we're hoping will be around a discussion where we feel free to participate as we wish, and so the discussion might just flow from ideas that are taking place. But we are very lucky to have Laura with us. So on that scale, I'll hand over and welcome and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here with all these very adorable and quite attentive faces in some cases. So I wasn't really sure how to introduce the discussion, but I wanted to say a few things to begin with. I wanted to place myself, in a sense, rather in between generations. I was very influenced by the nascent women's movement at the end of the 60s and the beginning of the 70s. I had a very privileged education. I did history at Oxford, but then found myself more or less at a loss, as I felt no hold or engagement with anything that I'd learnt, and felt no sense of a voice that could give me an engagement with what was happening in the world very much. So it was in this sense that an encounter with the women's movement was literally a means of finding something to say and a way of rethinking myself in quite practical terms in the question of women's oppression, women's exploitation, how we might think about it and how we might locate it both historically and in terms of the present, the ongoing situation. And I think at that point, it was a moment when the question of women and creativity was one that was not necessarily on an agenda, but it very, very quickly became on an agenda, with quite a lot of work being done on the historical questions of women, women's art, women writers, and the pioneering books coming out, like Griselda Pollock and Rosie Parker, Germaine Greer, The Obstacle Race, which was kind of tracing the way in the difficulties that women had had become artists. In terms of my interest, which was film, in some ways the picture was even grimmer. It was very difficult to find active women engaged in particularly the film industry, more in the more creative art corners. But this was, I helped organise a festival of women directors in 1972 at the Edinburgh Film Festival. And at that point, I would probably have sworn that by 2010, you would have had a 50-50 representation of women making films in the industry and totally across the board. So at the moment when Catherine Bigelow won her Oscar, and there was this outburst of amazement, it took me back very much to that moment and made me realise how much ground there is still to cover. On the other hand, I do think in terms of women and art, there have been an enormous amount of progress. And the expectations that young women have now to be able to participate in creativity and come out of art schools, I think is extremely inspiring. And so in that sense, I'm extremely glad to be here because I feel that there's that new aspiration, that aspiration is now articulated. The women are there, the consciousness is there, but of course the obstacles in the title of Germaine Greer's book, The Obstacle Race, the obstacles, the difficulties, and so on, are still there and do still need to be faced and articulated. So in the first instance, I just wanted to congratulate you all and Martina in actually being here, because it seemed to me that thinking back over the decades, that sense of collectivity and coming together and discussing, even if it's just a matter of immediate problems, is one that's of enormous importance. I was just thinking when I wanted to prepare a few points about thinking about how, in some ways, the pressure which we're thinking about here, particularly the pressure of parenthood and maternity, is a very particular one. And I think it can well be a shock to women who have been doing their own work and have been used to a certain amount of space and time for personal expression, to find that it's not only a matter of time and practicality, but it's a matter of kind of the space of consciousness and kind of finding the way to actually think about things. And one of the things I wanted to say was that often one can feel that even under that kind of pressure, even to have an hour or a couple of hours is a privilege. And then you feel the pressure that if you have that space, if you have that time, then immediately you have to try and start using it and doing something. And I think that's so hard. Mm. And that one of the things that you can talk about and discuss is what other ways, in fact, you can use those moments in not necessarily to think you have to sit down and be creative immediately, but in what other ways you can kind of maintain consciousness by reading, going to galleries, talking about aspects of your interests as well as your work, which is something that people do in the normal course of events when they're in their creative lives. And in some sense, that kind of exchange, that to try and take that pressure cooker feeling away, I think is something that would be worth thinking about. I also felt, I picked up this book, which I've always been very fond of. It's by a writer called Tilly Olson. It's called Silences. It's about not just women in literature, but it's particularly interested in women in literature, but just the problem that everybody faces with the problems of expression once they've kind of committed themselves to a creative life. And I was very struck by Herman Melville, the great American novelist. I've marked this, and of course I've actually put the wrong thing. And I thought he was having enormous problems, having written Moby Dick and been seen as one of the great American novelists, was having huge problems with his work and getting back to work. And I just loved these particular lines. And we have to recognise he says a man, not, a, you know. He says, he was writing to Hawthorne, another American novelist. He says, "I'm so pulled hither and thither by circumstances. The calm, the coolness, the silent grass-growing mood in which a man ought always to be able to compose, I fear that can seldom be mine. Dollars damn me. What I feel most moved to write, that is banned, it will not pay. Yet altogether write the other way I cannot, so the product is a final hash." This constant sense of trying to find a way in the world. And I also just wanted to quote from Virginia Woolf, her famous book about women, women's lack of presence in culture, creativity, and so on. And just thinking about the words she writes here, thinking how much progress has been made and how much further everybody has got since Virginia Woolf said about women, "Genius of a sort must have existed among them as it existed among the working classes, but certainly it never got onto paper. When one, however, reads of a woman possessed by the devils, of a wise woman selling herbs, or even a remarkable man who had a remarkable mother, then I think we are on the track of a lost novelist, a suppressed poet, or some Emily Bronte who dashed her brains out on the moor, crazed with the torture her gift had put her to." And I just think, thinking of that generations of loss, of the way in which culture has actually been devastated by the lack of women's contribution to it, and how over the generations and the years, how much progress has been made, even in the last few decades, in which women can now come together and assume their creativity and discuss it, even in moments at which, in previous generations, the idea of actually being able to continue with creativity and self-expression would have been considered impossible. Yeah. There's another thing that Terry Olson lists is of the women who did write, who did do art, how most of them had actually had to give up the idea of ever having children and had actually had to put their art and creativity in front of their own personal lives. And the ones who actually managed to reconcile the two are an almost unmentionable fraction. So I just wanted to say those few things as an introduction. I don't know if people here, you probably all know each other. I don't know if you'd like to start off by saying something about who you are and what you do and how many children you have.
I'm Saskia and this is Winifred. We've come up from Brighton today. And
you came up from Brighton?
Yeah.
Brighton. Oh, well, you probably got up more easily than some of us. You got to a hunt in London today.
Yes. And I've actually just started an MA in art psychotherapy at Goldsmiths this week. And so I've been thrown straight into making art and being present with what that's going to be about. And I've, while being a mum with her for the last 2.5 years, I have been making work from time to time, but particularly because I applied for this MA a year ago, that gave me a focus. And that's where I'm at the moment.
Shall I go next? My name's Kelly Drake. I live in Stratford, in East London. And this is India, who is now 7 months. And I'm a painter. I finished my degree last year, finally, after 5 years, part-time. And I've got a some space in a show in December, so I've started painting for the first time in a year now, because I got pregnant very quickly after I finished my degree, and I hadn't picked up a paintbrush for, a year, and I'm just snatching 3 hours here and there where my friends are looking after her, which is great. And, it's terrifying, actually, thinking about that 3 hours and thinking, what happens if I don't create anything I like or that I can use, or, you know, all this dialogue in my head, really. And I think the idea of how to... I mean, I am engaging with the artistic process even when I'm with her, because I'm now thinking about the paintings that I've made and how I can shift them and change them and develop them.
Challenges and barriers there, and I'm interested in the wider concept of motherhood within our sort of patriarchal society, and also that terrible transition from being an individual person to being a mother and how difficult that is, and, you know, being an artist, how even harder it is. So I'm really interested in that moment, and I want to see if there's any way that can be, you know, further explored, and women can have more support at that time, because I found it really challenging, so that's what I'm interested in.
Hi, my name is Ursula, and I've got 2 children. My daughter Mina's not here, she's nearly 3, and my son, who's Vincent, who's 11 months, and I'm a painter, I paint. And I still retain a practice. Still paint.
Okay, my name's Justine Kenyon. I work in the arts team at Wandsworth Council, and we've been working with Martina to support her putting this event on in Wandsworth. I will also add, I'm not a practicing artist, but I am a mother of a 16-year-old boy, and I've been a single working parent since the beginning, and I feel probably that can give me a basis to relate to a lot of what you're discussing today.
I'm Adelina. I'm a freelance photojournalist or photographer. I have 1 girl on the way. So let's see how I'm coping with those things. I come from the University of Arts Berlin. I just moved to London in January, got pregnant immediately, and I'm a bit caught in between those 2 stages. On the one hand, I want my career to progress. I need to make the first steps. I've had a major exhibition back at home. But on the other, I want to focus on my child and somehow give it the room to develop fully without me being absent all the time. You know, my husband is in a paid work, and I've been a freelancer for the last 3 years, so obviously it's more convenient for me to deal with the child's issues at the moment, but in the longer term, I'd like, of course, to progress. So, this is why I'm here. It's the first time that I'm attending this meeting. I find it very interesting.
I'm Jemima, and my son Laurie is 3. I'm an artist, and I've pretty much been carrying on with my work since he was born. Things are getting slightly easier, I find, now as he's getting a bit older. But I think I'm only just gradually sort of taking on the changes that have come about by becoming a parent. I think initially when he was first born, the work that I was making didn't really acknowledge the change. It sort of almost denied it. It's only gradually that I think that started to happen.
Hi, my name's Catherine Morland, and Daisy is 2, and I'm I do drawing and projection work, and I took a year off after Daisy was born, and I'm making work now. I've got a kind of balance. I'm also a single parent, and I do have time in the studio, but I think the difficult thing is the thing about being a parent is it kind of comes from the same place as making work, and it's kind of strange to explain it, but so it's as much as time that's separate from being a parent and making work, it seems there's a competition in, I think, the time, the thinking space and the consciousness is a very sort of, I haven't quite worked that out, but I think to have the space to do that and to think and maybe make mistakes, and I think I feel when you've got time to make work, if you can just do it, get it done, it's one thing. But if you actually are kind of trying new things and thinking new things, or and it doesn't work, you're like, I've just wasted. Then you can think of the time that you've spent doing it. So it's a balance between those things. And it's interesting because it's an amazing thing to have a child, but it's... It takes a lot longer than I thought. I thought by the time she's two, I'd be really together. But I think it just takes a lot longer. That's me.
Well, I think everybody's heard from me, so... Okay, you're next, Laura. Martina Milani, my practice has changed for now since having Cecily, who's not yet two, and I panicked when I was pregnant because I thought I'd never make work again. Also, I might not want to make work because I'd be so in love with this much longed for child. But I completely agree with Catherine in terms of the biggest problem is finding headspace, and I'm finding that a real difficulty. Separation from life and practice has never been something I've been particularly good at. So trying to manage that now is incredibly difficult, because I'm so preoccupied with Cecily's needs. And of course I would be. But there are questions around mothering and motherhood that I think are very different from parenting. And I run up against those terms all the time. And I think that what we do is definitely mothering. I think the fact that we are all women here today, you know, who've come for this discussion are all, you know, it's an important point that needs to be acknowledged. And I think the discussion around how one maintains practice isn't just a practical issue in terms of how you find childcare, which I'm hoping we won't talk much about today, but psychologically and how it's affected us, you know, how we've become different people and how that affects our practices is where I think the interesting discussion lies.
I'm probably the only one who hasn't got one. This is not mine, sorry. But I'm an artist, and the only thing I would say is I'm obviously at a certain age, so I'm here because the decision that you have made, I have to make one day in regards to... But I do like them, so it's not like...
You can have it.
Yes, thanks. Oh, Steffi is my name, sorry.
And so is Stephanie.
Hi, my name's Elena Yokibi, and I... Elena. I used to do photography and sort of community-based arts. I say used to do, because at the moment I feel like, yeah, I'll never do anything ever again. But then after my first one, who's nearly three now, I did feel this amazing surge of sort of creative energy, even though I didn't have much chance to sort of act on it, but I was full of ideas, and I thought, but I think after the second one now, I'm just completely exhausted and sort of floored by it, because I just don't have a moment to myself. So, but I'm trying to make myself not say, oh, I'm just at home with small children at the moment, because I think it's the hardest work any of us will ever do. So I think what's needed, you know, for us as women and in sort of in talking about motherhood is a bit of that kind of old-fashioned acknowledgement that motherhood is work as well, and it's damn hard work. And even though it's not paid and it's still not appreciated, you know, it's, and sometimes it can be absolutely mundane and mind-numbingly boring, the work we do every day, but it is work. And sometimes it's very creative, and I've been thinking about this, you know, I think it should be something that we put on our CVs and applications, you know, because you have to become masters of multitasking, negotiating, time management, you know, and all of those things. So I guess it's some of good old-fashioned sort of feminism in acknowledging the fact that motherhood is hard work, whatever you...
I'm frying pan. I'm observing.
Myself, I'm an artist child. Yes, that's true. I'm a filmmaker myself. Well, trying to be, figuring it out. And obviously, as a woman and as an artist, I have a responsibility to what's happening here and what will happen in the future. So any contribution and acknowledgement that I can make and people in my position can make as a positive step forward, I think is, you know, hopefully helpful and something that should be recognised.
I'm Anna. I have a small son who's just about two, and I'm trying to work and take care of him whilst doing a lot of work 4 days a week, and sometimes feeling that I'm not the best mum. So it's quite interesting to come to these meetings and to hear how other people tackle these issues.
We're just introducing ourselves. So we can just say hello and your name and your interest in the subject.
I'm Hannah Starkey, and I'm sorry I'm so late. I really wanted to get here for 12, but it was an impossibility because I have to do everything else in the world. But yeah, it's great to be here.
And Etty.
Hi, I'm Etty Wade. Also, apologies for being late. I just went to the Royal College in Kensington and then got on the wrong bus. And I'm really glad to have made it. Okay. I'm a photographic artist, and I'm a mother of three sons. Actually, motherhood is very central to my practice.
No, just at the very beginning, there was so much noise, I didn't get your name.
Oh, Saskia.
Saskia. And...
Kelly. Oh, Winifred.
It was Kelly.
Yeah.
And...
Kat.
Kat. Well, I think there's a lot of really interesting topics have just come up. In some ways, there is a reiteration of the problem of finding creative space. Those space to think are not always feel pressure to produce, actually coexist. But also, a number of people have pointed out that being a mother and the question of motherhood, Martina Britton, is central to their work. And I wondered if those who mentioned that would like to say anything more about how that emerged, whether they were... I'm just trying to see who...
Having my children, so the work came from that transition I was talking about, but, you know, becoming a mother, and I came across so much opposition and intolerance, really. So I had to you know, it was really difficult finding the line between what was personal, what I needed to explore myself, and something that was actually, that I felt was valid in terms of the practice. So, obviously, you know, I feel that the environment that we're in is very patriarchal still, and the work that I was making was just not recognised at all. I'm so waffling here.
Yeah, because of the subject matter, do you feel? The subject matter of it, was it
frivolous,
or what?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I was far more interested in sort of the maternal ambivalence. So Rosita Parker, who you mentioned earlier, has written this book called Torn in Two, that was looking at, you know, how you are torn in two as a mother, and the whole love and hate that you have for your child. And I was thinking about in terms of me needing to have time for myself and the thinking space and the practical side of it, and also, you know, the love that I have for my children, how I need to channel that. So, yeah, that's...
What came first? Was it the was this something you always wanted to talk about in your practice, or did it come out of your situation?
It totally came out of my situation. Before, I was making work that reflected what I was doing at the time before, which was music, so it totally came out of that. And I just felt like there was so much injustice in terms of what collectors want. It's just nothing to do with being a mother, because lots of the collectors are, by definition, male, because they got the money, really, and so I felt that it wasn't, you know, connecting to anyone who'd want to have the work, buy the work. Does that make sense?
But it also ties in with what someone was saying about motherhood not being recognised as a work, as a job, as a.
So in that sense, we have two things. One, motherhood's not recognised as valid work, and then the kinds of questions that come after it, which might came from another part of society, who recognise that legitimate sources of creativity and art aren't necessarily tolerated in the same way.
Yeah.
Such a huge thing to talk about, that people skirt around it and are really worried about what it might mean to actually acknowledge it. There's the kind of scared that the kind of prejudice will be against them. Yeah, exactly. That conversation's been had again and again and again, it seems, and it's like we're frightened to kind of come to any kind of resolution about it, and so it just stays the same.
To understand in a different level. Is that why in many ways people that are having children end up talking more about kids than anybody else? I think there is something that clicks you about things maybe you couldn't or you understood, but then you understand in different levels. And when I became pregnant, absolutely affected my life, not only because relationship with the world changed, relationship with the family changed, but also my physical state changed, and I was making films and taking photographs before. I had problems in the pregnancy, I couldn't do this anymore, and I started to do different kind of works in textile. And
you moved from photography to
textile, yeah, mixed media textile, so I couldn't carry the big stuff anymore. And I was... not only made me think about motherhood a lot and use motherhood in the work I was doing, but also made me be politically more aware of what motherhood meant in many other levels. Like, you know, the word mother is a very is related to other parts of our life, and it's very political. And it can be related to a whole institution of church or the you know, the people that are in the top telling you how to live your life and many other things. So for me, it kind of made me think in many levels what the word mother represents, not just my personal life.
Yeah.
but also I had to integrate my children in my work, and I think a lot of moms do that. They become like muses, and they kind of learn to... My kids grew up with needles and scissors and very unsafe objects, you know, and cameras and machines, so that all become part of the work.
It's too late to come in. Why don't you just come talk a little bit about the work that I have made and the kind of the reasons for making the work. I actually, most of my practice has started after I became a mother, so I don't really have that kind of transition from before and after. And a kind of a strong part of the motivation for my work was to do with a sense that in my experience of being a mother, I felt very isolated, partly because there's a sense that within representation, motherhood is always quite idealized. And if your personal experience doesn't tally with that kind of perfect, beautiful, joyous experience, and you feel, you know, and the difficulty of it, etc., all of that felt to me to be really invisible, and it kind of made my initial mothering experience very lonely. There were other personal reasons for that, but when I had my second son, I started producing work that tried to articulate a kind of a subjective position of my subjective position as a mother, and kind of to introduce the intensity, the pain, the fear of loss, and a lot of the kind of emotions that just seem to me to be invisible. I've got three sons. The first, the eldest is 17, the middle one is 10, and the youngest is 1. So I've got like real kind of gaps, and my experiences of being a mother to my 17-year-old when I was very young were very, very hard for various reasons. When my second son was born, I started making work with him that allowed me to work through my mothering experiences with my eldest. And I kind of, looked to put out and make visible, basically to kind of counteract what I felt to be a very lonely position first time around, to actually make work that will acknowledge the fullness of the experience. Unfortunately, I never really had the guts to try and make that work public, so it only exists on my website. But that's another story. So that's...
Have you made other ones?
Not really.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just through my website.
Mm.
I work as a teacher, as a photography teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of make my work, but never get around to showing it.
Right.
It needs speaking up. Because right. It's a little bit of under.
Okay. I was asking.
Etty.
If she showed other work. If it was just the work around motherhood.
Well, I made some work public. I had a piece at the National Portrait Gallery a few years ago, but I've not really made my work public. That's a side of my practice that just doesn't really happen that much.
Why is that? Is it something you don't want? You said it's your website, so that is...
Yes, I mean, I'd like to make it public. I just feel, with that particular work, I just felt that I really didn't want to go through the process of trying to knock on doors and trying to convince people to show it, and...
I felt
that, and I just, because it was so such powerful work to me, so important, and such a lot of my personal investment went into that, I just didn't feel ready to deal with rejection, so I just preferred not to do that. And I think I'm really happy to have this forum, because it feels to me like an opportunity to find ways to make that work public without having to go through the process of being rejected, in the sense that I'm trying to, in that aspect that I'm trying to protect myself from.
I think that's a very important point, and I think it echoes a number of things that people have said who felt isolated, or that things had an understanding which they didn't get the the world of knowledge that there was, that this was not only an important issue, but one of the most important things that perhaps humanity needs to discuss, make into a question that isn't just an idealized viewer of the kind of Madonna and child, where the actual intensity of that mother-child relationship is always shown as a physical bonding. One has to try what a doing is, so that is a sensation but also in between that physical space, there's an enormous amount of both social, personal, and psychological things that haven't actually been said in our culture. And so in that sense, there's one could say that that motherhood almost has a duty to speak out because it's such a silenced area. But it's difficult to find the first words of the first images to do it.
What I was just going to say is the mother is not recognised at all in psychoanalytical theory as well.
It's
psychoanalytical theory. That if you, that there is no, she has no voice in that theory. It's just, you know, you were talking earlier about when you got involved in the feminist movement and there's a lot of psychoanalytical theory coming on. I think that the female has become recognised, but only as, you know, a girl. Child, there isn't the mother does not have a voice in psychoanalytical theory, and so I'm talking about institutions that's just not recognised.
So does that mean if you're surrounded by people who are talking, say, semiotic theory, psychoanalytic theory, where does motherhood come in?
Yeah.
Well, I think in our generation we tried to kind of set up in dialogue with psychoanalytic theory on the basis that if there was such an enormous absence of being of language to speak about it, then that was something that necessarily needed to be addressed. So, to a certain extent, it was moving into finding the words out of a lab, and that took a lot of negotiation because it meant a kind of challenging a lot of theoretical bases without necessarily trying to say this is all rubbish, which one doesn't necessarily want to say all this theory is rubbish. But at the same time, there are kind of very interesting ways of looking for blind spots and what hasn't actually been said or overlooked, precisely because those kinds of experiences aren't then acknowledged. I want to, because I think, I think Helena was talking about, or someone was talking, Sandra was talking about the problem of. Was saying the concept of motherhood has to be acknowledged as a political one because it does have this very explosive presence within society. But on the other hand, it's constantly privatized and turned into a private, isolated experience that I think Etta was talking about, where the mother seems to be kind of relegated to a specific space of domesticity. But at the same time, it's key cultural experience. So I think, Essie, you were saying that that might be a starting point for beginning to share experiences and think about how this gap could be filled, as it were, what kind of way is beginning to fill in the gap.
I mean, first of all, I thought when you said that the mother doesn't appear in psychoanalysis, it just seemed to me that it's just such a kind of a hidden lack, because she's there all the time in some sense, but in the passive sense, it's just, you know, as you start reading and trying to find, you know, the maternal subject, she's there, but not a subject as object, maybe, as a passive. I think it's kind of difficult when I was trying to make my work, trying to kind of articulate the kind of, as you said, Laura, the range of emotions, the social, the psychological, the subjective. I think I just tried to go with a quite sorry, I forgot the word. Not an impulsive, but a sense of an authentic sense, which was kind of the work was about performing a relationship with my son. And we, as a photographer, I kind of am used to working with a subject quite distant from my tools, which is, you know, with a camera, you always kind of objectify your subject. I mean, I suddenly found that I couldn't really work with cameras, so I started working with a scanner. And basically, with an A4 scanner, I was enacting my relationship with my son onto the scanner plate and used the duration of the scan as the time frame within which to perform. The work comes out very dark because the scanner, the background is dark, there's no light. I'm not sure if I'm actually answering the question, but I mean, it was kind of motivated by that terrible lack and the sense of isolation that I felt with my first time around mothering, that it was just, I felt all the emotions that had no representation in culture made me feel like a freak because I was, there was nothing to kind of compare these emotions to.
Could I just make a point about this? Because I think a very important thing that happened, I don't know how many people experience that, is that by being mother, not only you are dealing with the relationship with your child, your new child, but also your own child. What I feel is that a lot of my dark places came up because I revisit my own childhood, so it was triggering. Yeah, it was triggering experience. I was back to my own experience as a child with my own mother, and like in my personal case, the country I come from, it had very bad political moments as well. So there was this relationship, but there was also a very religious family. So there was the Madonna, the ideal that I had to break my own ideal from my own mother before I accepted I was not the perfect mother. Because I was brought up with this idea of, you know, perfection. So it's quite disappointing when you realize they are not perfect and then you realize you're not perfect and that you have to deal with this. And absolutely guilt. For me, in my culture, motherhood comes parallel with the word guilt, you know. Like you said about time, I think it was only yesterday my husband said, okay, you have a day free, now do some work. I'm going to go do something. And I was like, petrified. God, I have to do something today because he gave me some time to do something today and it has to happen, you know. And of course, that's not the way I work because I love to research, I love to do all other things, I love to visit museums, I love to talk to friends, but it's really funny when you are actually put in the spot and you say, okay, you were an artist now. Now you're not a mother, you're an artist. Do some work, woman. And he's like, okay. And then it's, I think for me, the strongest, that's why I think it's political, because there is the politics of women having to work. Like I said, my mother had to work. And she worked not because she was independent, because she never was, but that changed her own relationship with her work and with me and how. So there's a whole thing of that influence.
I'm just wondering if we could share your conversation for a moment. This has been very, very interesting. And there's a lot of material that's come out here. And I just wanted to have to hear from anyone who finds that they haven't been able to or haven't wanted to integrate the question of the child into their actual practice. I mean, that's what Ursula Jemima.
Just very quickly before. Document in stills photography the meeting.
Is that okay with everyone?
Thank you.
Yeah.
where they're used for the website and for the archive material of the Enemies of Good Art archive.
I'm just going to say that I was doing my art foundation when I got pregnant with her, and so there was a big issue about whether to continue or just jack it in. And on a really positive note, particularly when there's somebody in the room who's about to become a mother, I found that making work, and also having to make work because I was on the Art Foundation, so at least I had a focus and a drive, that the making of the work really helped me in making the transition from being the Saskia person I was before her and the one I was becoming when she came along, which was all up in the air and completely unknown. And I remember really clearly thinking, oh my God, thank God I've got this art-making process going on parallel to her coming along. And in some ways, while I watched some of the new mothers I was around really getting preoccupied with the needs of their very small baby and their own and their emotional reactions, I was processing it all a lot through the making of the work. And I feel like it saved me entering into, you know, some of those scary places that you go into as a new mother, where it's just overload of information and emotions. So in a really positive way, I think that making work and continuing to make work can save the day in many respects. Even if the work isn't about the subject, yes, of it, it's the doing of it, yes, and the connectedness to who you were.
You in the way that you're using art now?
I think the way
you said you're using art though as a therapeutic practice.
The art I'm doing at the moment is making art in response to what I'm learning with the masters, and I find that very challenging because it's not in my artistic training to make work in emotional response to something. But obviously I'm more able to do it than I might have been had I not had a child, because the having of the child almost forces you to make work in that way, particularly when time's so limited. And I think that's another advantage. I quite like the having only the hour. You have to get stuck in immediately and just get on with it. You can't make excuses to not. You have 1 hour, start at the beginning and keep working to the hours up, and clear it away and get on to the next thing. Make the dinner, do the bath. I think it's quite powerful.
But now they've been practiced lens and such.
No, oh God, no, no, of course not. No, no, no.
Yeah. As you know,
sorry, I was
really
sitting up on there. No, of course. No, it's just so that we have an audio record of the things that we've done on the website.
Sorry,
I've got that report packed in, so we're recording the audio on this camera.
Okay.
So it's actually...
No. is that all right?
I mean, if you'd rather not,
I suppose what I can say, just from my experience, is I felt, I don't, rightly or wrongly, I finished my MA here actually, about 4 years ago, and I felt like I was starting to get gallery interest, I was starting to be in group shows, and I had a student in East London, I was sort of in part of the emerging sort of East London scene, and most of my friends were in sort of similar boat to me, and everyone kind of had, it's almost like an extended adolescence, you know, people go to private views, there's quite a drinking culture. People, you know, everyone has got very some interest and passion for art, and they've been doing it for a very long time, made quite a lot of financial sacrifices, but to follow your dreams, to follow your passions for a long period of time. And then I just naively got pregnant and thought it would be like a residency, you know, that I was going to have more time and benefits to sort of do my artwork. And obviously that's not the case. in some ways I think it's amazing though. I've really enjoyed having children. It's kind of made me more connected to the city that I live in, and I've got to know my neighbourhood. I know my neighbours. I can talk, you know, a lot of people help me out with childcare. I've organised childcare swaps, and, with people in a similar situation to me, I think I've been quite lucky where I live, and I don't know, it's opened doors and maybe put, I mean, I think I've always been sort of put my art practice in perspective, maybe in a less
I like to think of myself as not such a, like less than a careerist and more than a creative folk, because as people say now, having children is very creative, and just enjoying life a bit more, and I think necessarily, I don't know, that's my perspective at the moment, I don't know.
I'm trying to tie it in. I think the creative process, well, if emotions start the creative process, I've known that before, and I expect my child to do the same. So, of course, if dealing with motherhood, etc., will like be a new avalanche of ideas.
Oh.
That's what, well, let's see how it goes for me. What I think, or what my fears are, this taboo that we've been talking about before, it's not the taboo of motherhood. I have the impression that it's a taboo of failure. You have two extreme examples. We have on the one side this housewife who finally she gets pregnant. She's happy. She's going to have this child. That's all she ever wanted, whatever her career was beforehand. And then on the other hand, we have this sort of, I call them always super moms, the Angelina Jolies, Heidi Klums, who get their child, go on stage 6 weeks later, present themselves as, hey, it's no work at all. Of course they have money, they're not my ideals or whatever, but they have this too, either you're super perfect in doing, having 1,000 children and dealing with your job, or you're super perfect because you stay at home. All the space in between, that is where I think there's no recognition. That is what I feel is the taboo. And this is what I'm afraid of, the creative process, and also for myself, or not being published or whatever, it's fine. I don't fear that much. It's more this not accepted as an imperfect mother, if you want to. A society has no example for the middle.
But the majority is that middle ground, is that middle place where you're still trying to be the person that you were or the person that you want to become. And in order to be the mother that I want to be, I need to still be the person that I want to be. And that means engaging in my practice, whether or not it includes very directly includes my kind of thinking about motherhood, or whether it's more tangential, the way that comes into my practice. You know, and I think it's been coming in quite slowly. It's not been straight away that having this big change has kind of been in my work. It's sort of gradual, it's starting to take effect.
There's loads of things actually. There's so many things going on. It's just.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things, can I just say something? Just one of the things that is very interesting that's come up, to your generation, perhaps, is that so many of you have had other kinds of experiences and have been artists and have had a life. Have had so many other things happening to you. So becoming a mother has involved quite a transition. I mean, it's always involved a huge transition from being one kind of person to another kind of person. But I think what your generation, and particularly those of you who have creative expectations for yourselves, there is a sense of how you work with this thing of who you are, how you become something else. And I think it's very interesting what Saskia was saying, which is that even if motherhood isn't the topic of your work, that transition actually comes in and has to become a subject that you address and deal with and force your work.
The feminist statements, the personal is political, and that is inescapable. I have two daughters, and they are 8 and 9. They're 16 months apart. And I've been a feminist for as long as I can, I had that sort of consciousness about myself. I was brought up that way. But actually having daughters, especially older children, I am not a radical feminist, and actually I've got so much work to do through the experience of being a mother. And, you do come up against sexism within the art world, as we all know. And there was something recently that
that happened to me, which I find quite interesting, but I am a mid-career artist, and I'm here still at Maureen Paley, who represents me, and she's amazing, actually. Now, this show generates money for new work to young collectors. But the interesting thing about some collectors are that the investment bankers is that they will do an analysis on you and your investment worth. And it's quite interesting because I get comments like, well, your CV is a bit empty, you know, for the last 5 odd years or something like that. And it is interesting that there is this jump to, well, maybe she's kind of disappeared into the world of motherhood. And I actually love when I hear that because it really makes me think, fuck you, you will not tell me what to do. And I'm completely independent of this. And I think it is, I mean, the whole thing is a journey where you can come out stronger from it because it actually focuses you. Because for me, raising my children will be my, oh, you know, they're kind of my greatest work, for a very naff phrase, but I don't see the two as separate. I don't think either has to suffer, but I think it's also about timing, and there's a certain point in your life where you have to give to your children, and you're giving to society, which is what you're doing as an artist anyway, and you're storing all that experience. And I think the thing is, it's the shift. If people could just be patient with mid-career artists, they will make that shift, that informed shift, from the time that they have spent in this hinterland, if you like. So I think it's a matter of perspective, and if you can kind of harness the power, because they're, you know, they're certainly, and where I went to college, and when I went to Ryan College giving lectures, I noticed there's a high percentage of women. In the galleries, there is a low percentage of female artists, so I'd like to see where that, why that discrepancy is, but, and how to balance it.
Capitalism won't wait for mid-career artists.
Well, the thing is, I think what's interesting, I don't think it's about capitalism anymore, I think attitudes are shifting, and I think, I mean, I actually do feel quite sorry for men who don't have this quality time with their children because they're in the patriarchal structure of the workplace, and in a way that they are losing out on something that's quite a beautiful experience. So, you know, there is this sense that we'll have to find a balance. And I'm not sure how that's done, but I think, you know, I think certainly this is the generation that can really do something seriously about it, so that my daughter will not be in some of the positions that I was in. Or if she, you know, I don't foresee that it will be the same for us, for future female artists. But I think that we have to actually put that grime down now, because we have the whole kind of the sort of feminist movement from the 70s that had a different rhetoric, but the kind of issues are still the same. But they're not just gender bias now; they kind of apply to both genders. So I see contemporary feminism as something that applies to both men and women, and it is trying to work out how to take all these qualities and values and well, all these qualities make me valuable in our society, I suppose. So I think, you know, all the things that you're talking about is really good material for the work you will make later, whether it is personal. And I think, you know, the interesting thing, that what makes work interesting when it's drawn from experience of being a mother is when it is a balance of personal and social. And it is trying to get that right that is very interesting. But it's such a fantastic frontier to go off and explore that.
I think just one point to make, that I think it is about sex, necessarily.
No, like it's genderless.
It's not genderless, yeah. Because I think when my daughter was born,
I have a very unusual situation. My husband gave up his work in the city because he wanted to help to be near her and to raise her. And also later I had situations, very strong health problems, that he became many times the mother, for my resentment maybe, or for his, I don't know. And sometimes we talk about, we share the same kind of resentment or guilt or love or or encouragement or even inspiration with the motherhood. Like if we both, it doesn't matter that we have different genders at all. We share absolutely the same thing, the same feeling.
Then,
yeah.
You know, it's an experience we all experience.
How would it be if someone just did that and said, "Well, look, you know, they've got, you know, two kids under five, you know, wow, they must have some interesting things to say," but it's not, it doesn't, so if you're battling that on a big scale, how can you sort of, on a little level of filling in a form, sort of...
Oh, you like any... Like, should I mention that?
Should
I
mention that?
Should you
pressure yourself to just carry on?
I can't believe that, listen, they still have to think, but should I mention that?
Yeah, and I don't want that, you know,
it's like...
So you get to the point where you pressure yourself to just carry on as normal and almost deny the fact that it's happening.
It's like,
no.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the problem with what we do is that the intensity it takes from us, and it needs that very focused, extended period of time. So it's very hard maybe to you know, particular to us as artists, it's very hard to balance the two because it demands a certain type of time, quality of time. It's not like you said, your husband said, "Well, I look after them for the day and you can go off and do your work." Because work, well, for me, doesn't happen like that.
Yeah,
it's a bit...
It's not like that at all. We both work from home. He actually was encouraged to do what he always dreamed of because he does work outside as well. Like,
yeah.
He would be an artist himself, a writer and other things. And actually, having a child, he felt was the excuse for him to actually spend more time home and to be near this child. But the thing of him saying, "Oh, stay with the child and go off," this is not a moment either of you. Yeah, it's like, it's not something we commonly have. So that's why he made the point, "Oh, you are having this time now, so make sure you use it, because it's a bad thing that we have as well." It doesn't make it easier because I only have his help. I don't have a family network. I don't have neighbors network. So it's not like my life is like this idea now that I'm some god as I sit there and my husband is doing. No, it's not at all like that.
It's a traditional structure.
Yeah, it's not
the
traditional.
It's part of being an artist in the sense that you cannot get a prolonged period of intense time if your husband is the company, but there is generally a kid who's not working. I mean, I know we all have kind of, we're not representative of the majority of
kids.
My
own home like was unusual because my mother was the full-time worker, which is absolutely unacceptable in the culture I come from. But my father had some difficulties and he wasn't. And the kind of prejudice my entire family had because of that, because he was actually sidetracked about, because he wasn't this man that was providing for the family, it was my mother instead. So we actually excluded for that reason. So there is other kind of prejudice that involve motherhood, because I also grew up seeing more of my father than my mother for the wrong reasons, I don't know, I hardly saw her. And that for me already changed my whole structure and idea what family is anyway. And then have a husband that is prepared to do things that are very unusual. I know some men don't do, and for some reason, it also caused prejudice, actually, against him. Or there is immediately that thing like, you know, you're not in this conversation almost because you don't have that problem. Your husband doesn't have that. And that's quite common, actually.
Yeah,
and
quite surprising. It's that gender identity that we all jump to, and we all generalize along. And then can I ask you, you're talking about something, you know, we just had Laura Mulvey. It's a theory we are all familiar with, right? So how can we as a woman not stagnate, like you said, Hannah? How can
the discussions we are having, or me not having a child, right, this kind of, right, there is still a mechanism, specifically in the art world, that operates. You're talking about you operating here, but how can this kind of idea of being confronted by a certain agenda, let's call it, how can that ever change, right? Instead of, we talk, but it's, I'm not saying it's a passive talking or a negative, but it's still a reaction. It's not a proactive, is it? And for me, sometimes it's, okay, post-feminism, what is that exactly? Apart from we acknowledge, we understand, but have we become more proactive? I mean, or has our position really changed? And how can we do that? Does that make sense? That understanding is, for once, changing. That mechanism of you, which is the art world, every 2 years, solo show, bing, bing, bing. That's something that you are external to. But how can that ever become changing so that in 20 years, you see what I mean, that we are not reciting the same theory but still feeling in the same kind of passive position? So there's a frustration, but apart from denial, we don't want that. But what else can one do? It's this kind of, we are part of a certain language, right? It's that. And that's what really interests me. How can this become proactive rather than... Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think generally in society is becoming more proactive, certainly with, our politicians, people like Yvette Cooper, who are coming up in the future, and all of them work towards the same goal, which is sort of general unity. I don't know, actually, I think it's a very interesting time. I mean, you're seeing all the financial structures collapse. And there is a way for a new value system which incorporates some kind of pay structure and employment structure that allows parents to have an equal share. They can choose, but when policy changes are implemented, then the kind of old regime will begin to be left behind. But I think we're probably still foot soldiers for this new era. And I, as mother and daughters, I'm exposed it's a kind of misogyny, but it's a corporate misogyny, like music industries, or what they peddle as female identity and how susceptible girls are and being an image maker. So I feel fueled by these discussions and these depths of feelings. I think it's amazing actually that we have the ability to question our talent, and in a way that's very good for growth and developing a talent. And I think, in some ways these patriarchal structures, they can't question their talent. It's all kind of, I am the best, or I have to be the best. I know that's sort of very important these things today. But it's just trying to work out a new rhetoric for the whole thing.
How are we going to actually change, the fact that we feel compelled to gather in a circle and talk about this means that we're unhappy. Mm-hmm. And how do we say that?
You always say that.
I know I always say that.
You always say that we only come together if there's a problem. I mean, you never see it as a problem.
But I think it's a problem. It's
positive. Okay, this is great, and we can give each other a clap on the back for being here, but we're still going to go home frustrated because we can't get to our practices.
And if we lived as mothers together, we'd be ghettoised, wouldn't we?
Mothers.
Yes, that's
completely.
That is the problem that happens very quickly.
Yeah.
It seems to me that it's about time that the father started to be a lot more appreciative of parenting, of raising the next generation. I mean, we know that the balance between older population is shifting. There's more and more older people. There's more weight on younger people to earn money and to pay taxes so that we can support an aging population. So it kind of seems obvious that at some point, or I would like to see a situation where at some point, people are actually kind of positively supported and for allowing that balance, not, you know, to, for actually bringing, you know, having children, mm-hmm. essentially.
Sorry?
What did you say?
I missed that.
It sounds like a TED lecture, you know, how you start this ball rolling. So if you get onto a forum like that, then you can really see how many supporters you have, I suppose.
To get back to the question about proactiveness, what you can do to promote those things, well, currently we have 11 ideals, what I'm described as the programs in the same way, say, as female identities.
There's something not right. We only have the extremes, so we need new models. What do people do to insert those new models and to see that women are working and to have this middle ground? They introduce quotes. Quotes for the big companies so women can go up on top, etc. Those quotes, the only proactive thing in the way of acting and doing something concrete they can think of. But I love that. And many friends of mine. Well, 5% of... Oh, sorry. Sorry, I translate from different languages. Sometimes my English is not correct. Sorry. The percentage of women being on top. This is just the only... Well, the shifting of conversation and discussion to a different topic, but this is the only proactive thing that I've come up with, or come up with, not me myself, but in other discussions.
That only happens when there's an awareness and the kind of the political system decides to actually become proactive about it. So it is about making people aware that parenthood has to be cherished, has to be celebrated, has to be supported within society generally, not just for artists. A lot more than it is now.
But then as artists, we can help kind of raise awareness.
Artists resist.
I think the very fact that there are people willing to cross London to come here to talk about being an artist and the difficulties with child care and all these things, I think that's already a huge change, I think, in many ways. And I see as a positive thing, if anything. I don't see it as a negative one, but I see it as a very positive thing. Because it is a space, it is a physical and emotional space where we can go together and we are talking about something that we share. And maybe some people maybe decide they want to create a work together out of this. To go and there are websites and blogs and something comes out of it. So I'm a great believer that one and two, they're good seeds. You don't need this idea. Sometimes we really get stuck because we think we have to make huge movements. You know the butterfly effect. I really believe sometimes more movements, they bring things to happen anyway. And what paralyzes most of the time people is to think, oh, this is such a big step, I can't take it. I think it's a cause of depression in motherhood, if anything. You know, it's so much to be done and I can take it. And then you do a little thing and really kind of have effects and change happen. I don't see as a negative really close to it. It's always like, you know, it's a
to introduce new ideals. And you only do so by doing so.
Of course, and take one step at a time. But on the other hand, as we said at the beginning, I mean, it was 2009, and you had the first Oscar for a female director. So it, still from the ideals that were there in the 60s, 70s, of what women shall achieve by 2010, we've gained like a little. Yes, it's cool that it's gone so far, but also the discrimination, etc., is more sublime. You don't get that cliches anymore. It's not something that you can fight against, like my mom could fight against. It's not something they can go on the streets for, but they have to change in the little bits and pieces and through our practice.
Maybe it's using the example of being a film star, and I suppose it's heroic, isn't it? It's like you have to give 24/7 to go and be a
you know, small town girls become a Hollywood star. And, you know, they're successful because they become the Hollywood star, and then they have the babies. It's like you can't, I mean, they can't, it would be very difficult for them to be the small town girl, though obviously a small town girl, and then have their children and then become a film star. Do you see what I mean? So I think what you're saying is, like, it's all very well for us to say we're going to change our ideals, but you have to sort of, like, change the ideals of the people who have the power. So, for example, for them to look at your CV and not look at the gaps, or for you to say, well, it was okay, I was going to, you know, I'm looking after my children, I took a gap for that, and that to be fine. Now, how it would be for something like the NHS or other industries, that where it is okay to take a gap, where, you know, people say, that's fine, you can go back into work, but there is a lot, I think there are other industries where there is a lot more. It's just weird that you think that in art, that actually, you know, we all talk about feminism, but actually, it seems quite misogynist the way that people in power act towards women. While in other industries, well, maybe, I don't know, well, say if you worked in law or you worked as a nurse, you worked in other professions, then you probably would be, it would be much more acceptable for you to say, I've had 2 years out, can I come back after a year and we'll have work part-time? And you would still be able to have a career. Easier, though.
So the gap is.
Anyway,
that
would not be my reason. My motivation is to make a picture that is unquestionable. And actually, none of these issues are. Well, another issue is unquestionable. I mean, it's in that way. So I would see that as being the ultimate in how I make my way through my career.
Maybe there's some truth in it. It is difficult to do both things.
But
what I was jumping on was, but does it matter that you have that time away? I mean, I'm very questioning of, is it actually going to have a negative impact on what your final life's work adds up to be, to have some time away doing something? But it sounds like it's a really simplistic idea. If you have X amount of time away from work, you somehow will come out with less work in the end as an artist. I mean, that just doesn't.
Well, that's
it's not
really
as simple as that.
It is trying to remember that the work you're making at this point in time, in this frame of mind, is important, and it's really very good time and respect that you will see that.
Or understand it, or.
I think if you're an artist, you're never stopping an artist. You are like, I feel, even when I was in the hospital, nearly dying, I was like, oh wow, this image, blah, 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 or something. You always relate into your environment, into your thing in your particular way. And like, I found it really inspiring meeting Emily, because I have a daughter, 12, and she's like the one that always encouraged me to say, go, go, mommy, you're going to do this, yeah, go. And I found this so good. Sorry? Well, and she was my muse in many ways. Like, I have to say that, you know, to the point sometimes I have to stop myself, okay? She really inspired me too. And meeting Emily, that's in the next stage, that she will be, she's 12, and I don't know how old are you, but she will be. And she's saying she's the child of an artist. And how cool it was for her. That's a change. My mother was very creative and gave up everything. And that frustrated me tremendously, because I thought she's one of the most creative people I know, talented. And she was bitter about, let's say the truth. She wasn't happy that she gave up.
anymore, because we are aware that it might just keep being a generational issue.
And I'm sure that the kids here, they will carry this in their genetic makeup now, that, you know, my mom is there, she's struggling, but look, she believes in this art and she's making it, she's making while she's cooking beans, whatever. But that's already a change, I think, in mm-hmm. those kids that are coming and have kids. And so the way I see, maybe it's a long time, like you say, or it's one woman that won the Oscar. And eventually you'll be 10 or be 20, and maybe it'll be your daughter or your, you know, that will do that. But I think that it is a very valuable thing anyway.
I love it. It's for me, it's that we're much more aware of our visual culture and how extremely sort of affects women from young children. And I think that it's just finding a way to, because it's going back to the mother as personal is political, and it's being able to realize that your experience is valid and is valid. And I'm very aware, actually, that as an artist, I have a sense, and I have a conversation with mothers, and I'm talking about, you know, fashion photographers, we all want them all skinnier, certain issues, that there's sometimes this feeling, yeah, but that won't happen to our children. But I, as an artist, feel it's all the children, you know, girls and boys, that I am, in some ways, responsible, not personally, but we are responsible for the wider society and situation, and that's what we try to communicate through our work.
You know, I think politics starts at home anyway.
Yeah.
In the work I did, like, back in Brazil, I worked with street children, right? And I considered that was some kind of political work. What I do with my own child now, I see more political than ever, because I don't intend to be political with her, but by showing my own, attitude towards life, hopefully I'm transmitting something to her that will have an active role in life. And I remember when I was a teenager and we talked about politics in our school, one of the older person said, you know, your politics should start in your own family. He was the one that told me that. Because we want to change everything. But if you think all the male chauvinists out there, they were kids of some mother that actually encouraged them to be chauvinists. So when you have your boy, this encouraged them to be chauvinists then, and that's a great job, you know? You know what I mean? We have a work in this as well, in a way. I'm not saying we're going to save anything, but...
Do you think an artist relies on their identity as part of their... Do you think... So when someone was talking about other industries and possibly other industries are actually more sympathetic to... Someone was talking about other industries possibly being more sympathetic to a woman's full lifespan at work. And I was just wondering, do you think artists are... There's something about an artist's identity that is actually part of their professional life, which wouldn't be the case, say, for a nurse. I mean, a nurse doesn't have to necessarily have a professional identity. I mean, an individual professional, a personal identity that is carrying their work. Well, that must, I mean, then, so the impact of general perception of women, a very generalized perception of female identity must impact on an artist's career, no?
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
In a discussion I was having recently with a curator about these meetings and how I think it was important that they remain public, and also that it was important that we bring the children along with us also. And he was questioning that as an idea, because he was saying, why would you expect to have your children with you? In any other profession, you wouldn't expect to work and have your children with you. So why is it acceptable? Why am I encouraging you to do so? And I have to say, I was a little bit thrown by that. But then I do think our practice is very different from being a corporate banker. I think we operate in the world very differently. We see the world very differently. And
work.
But also, there was a man who was saying that to you, was it?
It was.
Well, I think that has to be taken into account as well. Because, I mean, a lot of things have happened since the 70s that give us as women, as adult women, more support than was there in the 70s in our working paths, you know, as adult women. But there's a lot that's still there that is obstacles for us. But a lot of those obstacles perhaps are much more about perceptions, you know. There are like old perceptions, old perceived ideas that are still deeply, deeply, deeply inside the culture, you know, that we're living in. And so for a man to say that, it's almost like a very sort of off-the-cuff idea, you know. It's not attempting to in any way think progressively about who you are as an adult worker, whether you're a man or a woman or a nurse or an artist or a banker. I mean, he's precluded his comment by saying family life has nothing to do with work. You know, and I think
he's also saying, though, that, you know, I'm not to do any serious work, it's quite hard to have kids around.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with that. You know, I don't know what he was saying, you know. But in the old days, in my old feminist days, we'd have a creche. Mm. So, you know, there's different models, aren't there, really? But,
well, that's why I thought it was important that, you know, it's open for children to attend.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to worry about childhood. But also, if we don't have interesting, intelligent conversation because we're too preoccupied, then that's an experiment in the dangerous thing that made us. But we are capable of having interesting discussion above the noise of children. So I think it's important that they acknowledge.
And also, it's we have sort our own childcare to come. When we individualise it, stuff. Whereas here we're coming together and we don't have to have our issues individualised back at home.
Interested in what we were doing, so there you go.